Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's Power Hour, LSU.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the power, it's the power. Power Hour. Power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power Hour. Power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field.
PHL Nation, let's go. So we had a little bit of a schedule snafu, and Mr. Jacques Doucet will join us tonight at 6:30 Central. He profusely apologized. It was just a scheduling mishap, and we've got to break down LSU versus Ole Miss. Now, the first thing is I don't mind, whoever you are watching this right now, if you do something you should never do. Now, a lot of celebrities do this. A lot of unfaithful people do this. Cheat. Because a lot of us are going to be cheating on LSU versus Ole Miss this weekend because of all these different games. And guess what? Your boy will be doing that as well. I will have Alabama, Georgia. I'll have, well, it's Big Ten. I don't care about that. But I will be watching Oregon and Penn State. But 99.9% of my focus will be on LSU versus Ole Miss. Preview and prediction time. I do believe, and I'm going to be very public about this because I did pick Clemson to beat LSU for the second consecutive road game. I am picking Ole Miss to beat LSU because I think that's going to give LSU the luck to win this game. But the truth is, this game is probably the most even matchup of all the different matchups happening this weekend in all of college football. So this is normally kept in our Discord server. This is part of your Patreon package. If you sign up, patreon.com/LSU football. And if you're listening via iTunes, Spotify, don't worry. We will break it down audibly as well. This is a very advanced analytical breakdown, which includes EPA, SP+, FEI, and I'm not going to go into these numbers because I don't want to just be Mr. Nerdy Analytical Guy, but the truth is, what these numbers actually say is that this is a very even matchup between LSU and Ole Miss. In fact, analytically speaking, this is one of the closest matchups I can remember, okay? It is very interesting. So you take a look at this, LSU, Ole Miss, our model has Ole Miss as a slight favorite, a neutral model as a 1-point favorite. But that's not what the sports books say. The sports books probably are telling you that LSU is a 1-point favorite because right now Ole Miss sits at a 2.5-point favorite going into this game. So it's very, very interesting when you look at it from this angle, okay? But once again, if you are big into deeper dives, that is part of the PHL Patreon package. You get those numbers. Now, I wanted you to take a look at this from Dog Stats, Georgia Bulldogs writer who really gets into the weeds analytically as well. And you could see here, from a matchup advantage, one big weakness on this LSU offensive line is at right tackle. And you'll see that Weston Davis going into this game will be matched up quite a bit versus Suntareen Perkins, the star pass rusher for Ole Miss, who's been there for a few years. He really hasn't been that effective versus us in particular, but so far, 80.1 PFF grade. You take a look across his defensive line. Will Eccles has been a good player, but the guy that really stands out to me, who's very experienced from Mississippi, we talked about him briefly in our live stream last night, number 51, Xavion Harris. He is a really talented defensive tackle. Now, does he have the same upside of, let's say, someone like Walter Nolan? Well, the answer is probably no, where Walter Nolan basically caved our faces in on every single snap. He is no longer with the team. Obviously, he was drafted in the first round by the Arizona Cardinals. Something else you see is that PFF has a few players rated pretty lowly for us. Tre'Dez Green is one of them. He's back for this game. And Juwan Johnson, PFF doesn't view him favorably really at all with a 57.6 grade. Are there any weaknesses on this Ole Miss defense? Well, returning starter TJ Dottery, in their mind, is indeed a weakness, as is Sage Ryan, but you guys have two eyes. You already knew Sage Ryan was a weakness going into this weekend's game. Okay. Now, let's go to the next matchup here, which is flipping it to the other side of the football here. And bang, take a look at it for yourself. And you could see per PFF, they don't view Harold Perkins as favorably as we have this season. But outside of Harold Perkins, you see a bunch of blue on the screen. That is a really good thing. And then you see on Ole Miss's offensive line, their offensive line grades have been atrocious this year. Diego Pounds, Bryson Sanders, Patrick Kustas, Jaden Williams, not good at all. They are all in the red, 58.1 PFF grade, 56.1 PFF grade, 56.1 PFF grade, and 58.9 PFF grade, where LSU's, even though you see a bunch of 64s, this actually is backed up on film. And the weakness to me of this Ole Miss offensive line, ironically, is probably the most experienced. It's a transfer from Arkansas, Patrick Kustas, and the guy that I think could have a massive game for LSU is Bernard Gooden. Kustas has always had issues with three technique defensive tackles who can turn the corner quickly, and Bernard Gooden is definitely that guy for our unit. And as you can see, dark blue are the elite players in the minds of PFF. And for Ole Miss, Trinidad Chambliss has a dark blue grade. I do think PFF grades quarterbacks too softly. And on top of that, we really don't know a whole lot about Trinidad Chambliss because he's not really faced a real defense yet like LSU's. And Mansoor Delane, of course, has faced some really good receivers up to this point and has absolutely shut them down. So you take a look at, and these are more basic statistics than the advanced ones we showed you a minute ago. Yard per play, Ole Miss's offense, 7.8 yards per play. Yards per run, 5.2, which is really good. 11.2 yards per pass. This has been a very explosive offense. Where they've had issues, though, is when they get into the red zone. As you can see, only 4.4 yards per play inside the 40. Now, that's expected when you get inside the 40-yard line. But you take a look at the EPA numbers for LSU in the top right corner here. It's actually pretty good, okay? In every facet of defense. So we'll see how LSU does versus by far the best offense that we have faced up to this point in the season. Now, we didn't expect that. that Clemson and Florida would be the two worst Power Four offenses we will play this year, but that is exactly where we are. Okay. Now, before we dive deeper into these numbers, this live stream tonight is brought to you by two of our very awesome partners, Fortify Gulf Coast and LaboardTherapy.com. You'll learn more about them here in just a moment. Okay, so you take a look at LSU's yard per play numbers. It's gotten better, 5.3 versus Clemson, 5.1 versus Louisiana Tech, 6.2 versus Florida, and 7.0 versus Southeast Louisiana. So what does that mean exactly? Our offense has played better. You do give them credit for that. Now, some of these numbers look a little bit better because there were some garbage time plays that really catapulted these numbers, in particular versus Louisiana Tech and Florida. But overall,
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You do see an overall offensive yard per play number getting better and better and better. And now we get down to Ole Miss's yard per play numbers, and you can see offensively they have been absolutely amazing. 8.9 yards per play, 6.8 yards per play, 6.9 yards per play, and 7.9 yards per play. That's about as good as you will ever see. That is a Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels level offense, but then again, it's a small sample size, and you have not played anyone yet that you would really write home about. So that's why you're here on PFF. You're here for the deepest breakdowns, and let me tell you what. From my vantage point, I agree with the analytics. I agree that this is about as close of a game as you will have between two SEC teams. You have equal amounts of question marks on Ole Miss's terrible unit, which is a defense, and our terrible unit up to this point, which is the offense. Well, definitely terrible might be a strong word because we haven't just been good awful, but it's not been where a championship or at least a college football playoff contender level offense should be. And Ole Miss probably feels the same way about their defense, even though they are coming off their best performance under Lane Kiffin this year. Okay. Now, we welcome Kenny to the membership programs. Good to see you. Michael says, please use lower resolution so it doesn't buffer every 3 seconds. Well, have I been buffering? Have I been like, I don't know. I don't know. I just go out and do my thing. I'll go back and rewatch it. But Kenny, welcome to the membership program. Good to see you. And let me go ahead and read your comment before we get to a very generous super chat here from BT in a building. Kenny says, I was a LSU student from 2021 till this past year, and I really enjoyed your content. Well, Kenny, thank you so much. It means a whole heck of a lot. Comments like yours keep me pushing. I remember when I was a student, and as a student, a lot of people say, well, it probably was the best time to be a student during 2019 LSU's run. And that probably was a really good time to be a student. But I was a student from 2007 to 2013. So I got to experience two different national championship game runs. So I'm glad your studentship 2001 to 2025 wasn't the best, but you did get to witness a Heisman Trophy and an SEC championship game appearance. So welcome. Let's go to Brian. His super chat is, Brad Davis doing the worst coaching job in America, given his talent on hand? Is he the most polarized coach on LSU's coaching staff right now, or is it Joe Sloan? And you say by polarized, you are saying scrutinized. Is he the most scrutinized coach that currently is at LSU? The answer to that is yes. I do think Brad Davis's scrutiny has now gone past that of Joe Sloan, because we recognize that being an offensive coordinator is tougher than being an offensive line coach. But overall, it's been tough. As Skipper agrees with BT here that the offensive line play has not been where it's needed to be. I will also tell you that, well, it's time to quit with the excuses. Buckle your damn chin straps up. It's time to go. Time to step up. Time to get the job done. So for me, and we'll get more into this with Jacques here in a moment, because he was actually at the Brian Kelly press conference. You will more than likely have to rely on Juwan Johnson quite a bit in this game. So there was a report earlier today from On3, Pete Nakos and Shea Dixon reports that Caden Durham is trending in the right direction to play versus Ole Miss. Well, Brian Kelly says Caden Durham is still questionable. Okay, so we will see what actually happens when the game is underway. But this will be the most distracted LSU fans have ever been watching a game, because you want to see Alabama lose versus Georgia this weekend so bad. You really do. So a lot of you, don't lie. You're going to have Alabama, Georgia on one of your TVs. I will as well. I actually feel bad for people making their first trip to Oxford, because Oxford is a fun place to watch a game. I do think the Grove is overrated. We have had guests on here say that quite a few times. But goodness gracious, it's going to be so hard with all these other great college football games over the weekend. And we'll give you a few thoughts on those coming up as well. Now, let's get into some of our film studies from this week and what we need to do to stop Lane Kiffin. So in our Lane film study, we did a play on words. I'm a dad joke guy. Take the over. Ole Miss runs a lot of over routes. But the truth is, they are so hard to stop just on vertical concepts. And for me, a lot of the verticals that Ole Miss runs have some heavy pump fake usage mixed in there. So you'll see this quite a bit from Ole Miss's quarterbacks. They will give you a little, one of these, and then they'll rise up, throw the football down the field. This is something that they do quite a bit. And the reason for that is to hopefully get a corner to bite. You go over the top of that corner and get big yards. That's the main reason why you use those double moves. A very simplified way of describing that. You're also hoping to get some safety movement to one side of the field, and then you work the other side. Ole Miss has done this with both of their QBs up to this point. So you will see quite a bit of this weekend. Also, and we'll put this up from Dog Stats yet again. The only thing I wish Dog Stats would do is include the jersey numbers. I'm a big jersey number guy, as you know, because names are tough to remember. Okay. Deuce Alexander's their best wide receiver. He wears number 11. 249 yards, one touchdown, an 8 out of 12 on 17 targets. 8-0 means average depth of target. 12 isn't some ridiculous number, but it's pretty high. It's pretty high. You also have Harrison Wallace. As you can see, he's been the more productive receiver. I might be getting their jersey numbers mixed up, but I do think they are equal in talent. Harrison Wallace, 343 yards, two touchdowns, an ADOT of 15.6. That is a ginormous number. And then Caden Lee is the one that we are most familiar with. He had a really good game versus us last year. 156 yards on 15 targets and 8 out of 12.9. He's more their pure slot option. And to me, the most underrated offensive player in the SEC right now is Daquan Wright, their tight end. You guys know, and you pause me all the time on this, because we're talking about collegiate athletes here. But you could pause me, make a gazillion different jokes. I love my college football players thick. The SEC is a force equals mass times acceleration league. I think thickness matters. I truly do believe it. And Daquan Wright is a load. You better have your chin straps buckled when you go to tackle Daquan Wright, because his acceleration for his size is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And he's got some giddy up. Now, is he Mason Taylor level good? No. Mason's a better all-around tight end. But I'll tell you this, I would much rather tackle Mason Taylor than tackle freaking Daquan Wright. He has had two 50-plus yard receptions as a tight end through four games. Yikes.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I'm not afraid to say it, man. College football, it matters. It matters. In the NFL, where everybody's good, I don't think it matters as much. But in college, where you have more size discrepancies from team to team, it's a force equals mass times acceleration league. Brian says, is Brad Davis Matt House? No, I won't go that far. I won't. But he needs to be better. Joe Sloan needs to be better. Now, what do we make of Lane Kiffin as a play caller? What do I think he is going to do versus us? Well, I do think while Kawan Lacy, we've not talked a lot about him, number five, a lot of you are familiar with Logan Diggs, their backup running back, number 22. I do think, knowing what they're going up against defensively, they're going to spread us out. That's what they're going to do. And they are going to force our defenders to make tackles in space. I also think Lane Kiffin fears Harold Perkins. We've known this since 2022 when he went out of his way in the post-game press conference after a loss to say, why haven't they been playing Harold Perkins the entire game? I think what Lane wants to do is try and phase Harold Perkins out of the game and force LSU to be in a more true nickel package. I don't think that's going to work because LSU has done such a great job playing defense on the outside. And if you do that, well, you are going to be in a really good spot if you can lock down they're really good wide receivers. Stribling is a good receiver for them. Number one, a transfer from Oklahoma State. It's got a lot of talent. This wide receiver room has been a lot better, and they really need it to be because they lost Watkins, number 11, and they also lost Trey Harris, number 9, who was a high-round draft pick and from Louisiana. This wide receiver room has been very, very, very good. Okay. Now, something else. And I feel as if this is important. I do think both coaches being undefeated, they could take in a sigh of relief knowing that this game isn't the be-all, end-all. Is a win big for both of these teams? Oh, absolutely. It is massive. Massive. But the truth is, in particular from LSU's vantage point, you had on paper a tougher beginning of the year than Ole Miss did. You could make a strong case that Arkansas is better than Florida and Clemson. No one would have expected that. But that's where we are right now. So what does that mean exactly? Well, both teams feel pretty good being 4-0. They feel really good being 4-0. I, in fact, would have leaned LSU being 3-1. And if your goal is to make the playoff, you feel as if you are ahead of schedule. And I do think Brian Kelly, when he was looking at this schedule, the main goal obviously was to be 5-0, but you would be pretty thrilled knowing that you scheduled about as tough a non-conference game as you could, a road game versus Clemson in week one. You would have felt pretty good of being 4-0 or 4-1 at this point. Compared to, of course, being 5-0. And if our lone loss is on the road versus Ole Miss when all the metrics have this being such a close game, I can live with it. I really can. Now, here's a game I cannot live with. Pre-snap penalties. That has got to stop. We are having a lot of pre-snap penalties versus Renewins in home games. That's got to stop. False starts have got to stop. Delay of games have got to stop. Illegal formations have got to stop. It's going to be a road, raucous, loud environment. We have got to be disciplined. We cannot have these mistakes happen over and over. Are we going to commit some false start penalties? Yes, we're on the road and it's going to be loud. But I don't want two different running backs having false start penalties. Why? Why? For a running back, that is inexcusable. We've got to be better than that. We've got to be better than that. Go here. In my experience, the only time I've ever seen a Lane Kiffin offense actually stop is when you stop the run game and force them to pass. Yeah, and honestly, this is why you should feel a little bit better about this as an LSU fan. Because Lane's offenses struggle when the other team has the dudes to stop it. It sometimes is just that simple. One bet I would lean towards is Ole Miss in the first half and LSU eventually taking this game over. It feeling kind of like a Clemson game where LSU, they're slower starters. Ole Miss, they're faster starters. Think about how all three of the last games have been played. Ole Miss jumps out to a big lead in 2022. We come back and beat the bejesus out of them. Then in 2023, Ole Miss takes a football down the field. Very creative fourth down, Quinshon Judkins touchdown. They jump out to a lead, and then Jaden becomes Jaden, and then we choke it away. And then last year, they jumped out to a double-digit lead. It actually probably should have been more than what it was, which was a 10-point lead. and Garrett Nussmeier brought us back. And our defense got better. And Whit Weeks took over the game. Now, I do think Ole Miss could very well jump out at us. But eventually, Blake Baker find a way. He always does to shut down what Ole Miss will have heading their way. Okay? Now, coming up right after this, I've been wanting this guy on this channel for a very freaking long time. You're going to love him. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563. Or visit FortifiedGulf.com. That's FortifiedGulf.com. Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LabordTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region. Jacques Doucet joins us now. I want to start with actually traveling to games. Is it something you still do you still enjoy it?
Hey Carter, how you doing? Yeah, great to be with you. Certainly it's a lot of fun. Sometimes people ask what's the most exciting sport to cover, what's your favorite? They're all great, but really, it's hard to beat a SEC football game on a Saturday afternoon when you travel to an SEC town and it's a big stadium and you see the place fill up and you see the campus all alive and the tailgating and all that. So, yeah, I enjoy it. And I like the new SEC schedule. You know, I mean, we haven't been to Athens, Georgia since in 2013, I think it was. So we haven't been to Tennessee since Danny Etling and company in 2017. Yeah. So, you know, Oklahoma's one I've never been to. LSU's never played there, obviously, in football. So that'll be cool to wrap up the regular season. But, yeah, it's fun. But Carter, there's always a thing we talk about called gremlins that can pop up when you're traveling. I remember when LSU played in Syracuse, New York in 2015, yeah. I think that was. Yeah. So we're flying out of New Orleans. We're connecting in New York City to get to Syracuse, New York. Well, the plane was delayed in New Orleans because of an electrical thing. We get to New York City. We've missed our connection by far. And guess who's in New York City that night? The Pope. So there were no hotels like anywhere. We had to go stay in Long Island, barely sleep, get up in the morning, fight New York City traffic, fly over to Syracuse. I mean, look, it's the greatest job in the world. I'm just saying sometimes when you travel, some unexpected things can happen.
Recently, you've interviewed Sylvia Fowles, Emmitt Smith, nobody big. I mean, just people that have gold and orange jackets. For you, What's the biggest challenge of doing what you do?
Well, you know, Emmett, we got a email in late August that he was going to be in town promoting, or he represents Narcan, which is a nasal spray.
Yeah.
When somebody is overdosing from opioids, not to make light of a serious situation, but that was, I mean, he had the Narcan shirt on and everything. And so they said he'll be in town September 16th. Do you want to talk to him? I'm like, hell yeah, I want to talk to Emmett Smith. So he came by. That was real cool. And then Bob Starkey put me in touch with Sylvia Fowles the other day. I mean, I'm getting old. I've been here so long. I covered Sylvia as a player, and she was part of five straight Final Four trips with LSU women's basketball. So really cool to catch up with her. You know, I think over the years, your skills get better. You know, when I first started, my first three coaches, major coaches to cover, were Nick Saban, John Brady, and Skip Bertman, which was a combination of intimidating and terrifying. And you know, when I first got started, I was basically the same age as the players. I mean, in 2003, I think Matt Malk was like 2 years younger than me. He was a bit older, but, you know, I was covering that team, and I was basically the same age as the players, you could say. And then, you know, you're intimidated by coaches and adults, so to speak. And then now, you know, I'm older. I'm like 12 years older than the head coach of the Saints and stuff like that. So I guess just becoming comfortable. And I'm just kind of glad that this stuff, or like social media and stuff, wasn't around in my early years when I was making lots of mistakes. Because I think that's the bad thing about social media is we're all going to make mistakes. Things are going to go wrong, and we can laugh about them and stuff, but we don't need to crucify people like me and you who are out there, you know, putting ourselves in the arena and trying. You know, we shouldn't worry. You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, do other great professions, but, you know, that's what I want to say to like kids in LSU. You know, don't let a few people who are saying nasty things to you scare you. Yeah. From getting involved. I think that's the message.
Local TV is the hardest of any of it. I know you won't say it because you don't want to, but people don't understand. It's a little bit different because you have photogs and stuff like that, but you're still lugging the camera. You're still lugging the tripod, and then you have to cut it for a newscast. There's just so many things that could go wrong when you're doing it. So do you ever get nervous? Like my camera's messing up or anything like that?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, that's the deal. You hit the nail on the head. When you first get into this, you think I'm going to show up. I'm going to talk a little bit on TV. Then between the 6 and the 10, I'm going to go eat and, you know, I'm going to be popular. And when you first get there, you're like, yeah, you're going to grab that camera and you're going to go shoot the baseball game for 2-3 hours. You're going to go shoot the football game. You're going to go shoot this. You're going to drive here. You're going to edit your own video. You're going to type your own scripts. And, you know, in the early going, I had a hard time juggling all that. I mean, and the deadlines come. The sports hits at 6:20 or whatever the time is, whether you're ready or not. There's no postponing. And so, you know, it was easy in the early going. The people say they messed up your score. Oh yeah, they did it. It was me typing it in. You know, it's my responsibility. I'm the producer and everything. So yeah, there's great challenges. It's the greatest job in the world. It's not digging a ditch. It's not working on a roof. But you know, it's like I say, well, how long do you think it takes to cover an LSU game sometimes? And the students will say, oh, 3-4 hours. I'm like, no, it's more like it's a 12-hour day. You know, get to the stadium 2 or 3 hours before the game starts. You're at the stadium 2 or 3 hours after it's over sometimes and all that. So when the game ends, your job is almost just getting started. And then you're into the post-game press conferences and asking questions and shooting stand-ups and all that. So, yeah, and a lot of stuff can go wrong, like you said. I mean, I remember one time I went to the SEC baseball tournament. I was supposed to bring two batteries with me. I only brought one, and it was cracked. And I'm in Hoover. And I put some tape on it, and I'm just praying that I can make it to the end of the week on one battery for my camera. And sure enough, it was one of those pulmonary runs in which they made it all the way to Sunday and won the SEC tournament and dogpiled and all that. And I made it on that one battery the whole week. It was
Let's go.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff can go wrong. I mean, we do a 50-minute high school football show on Friday night, you know. We had a young kid intern a couple weeks ago, went to the game, got there. Oh, I don't have a card in my camera. Oh, well, that's not good. So no video from that game that night. And getting lost on back roads and getting blocked in because you parked in the wrong spot.
Yes.
All these things that can happen, you know, on Friday night or whatever night you're talking about.
A few more for you. I thought about you when the rant happened to Michael Cobble, because I remember as a young reporter, when I would go to the press conferences, I think Les or someone got on you before. Am I mistaken?
Yeah, well, it was 2010.
Yes.
Okay. LSU was playing Tennessee in Tiger Stadium. It was a day game, and that was the guys running off the field, all on the field. LSU's on the goal line. T-Bob snaps the ball past Jordan Jefferson. He's not ready for it. Dog pile. Game's over. LSU's going to lose in very embarrassing fashion. Well, Tennessee had 13 players on the field. LSU gets one last play after like a 10-minute delay. Toss sweep Stephen Ridley. He barely gets in. LSU wins. And I don't know. You're not supposed to get emotional when you're doing this. And these days, I'm not really emotional about things. But back then, I just kind of was tired of Les Miles getting lucky and just winning games in lucky fashion. And this was the top of the tier luck. And, you know, I had no business. I was a little dweeb. But I went to the press conference on Monday and basically, you know, I grabbed the mic. I didn't prepare to do it, but I just started ranting about how, coach, you got, you know, blind luck was the reason why you won that game. You're all happy, fans or not, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't, quote unquote, ask a question. Now, look, there's plenty of times where people say, hey, coach, you know, Kevin Falk played a great game. You're right. He sure did. And we'll answer. So the whole thing about, you know, you didn't answer a question, you know, whatever. Okay. Right. They're trying to post me up on that. But my tone and everything was not professional. So, but a lot of people emailed me that day thanking me, you know, Carter, you're not supposed to be like the drunk guy at the bar going off on the coach. You know,
right.
Like, and look, certainly, Tiger Droppings has great value to LSU fans. It's a place for them to go vent. And I know a lot of people that go there and stuff. But, you know, sometimes my friends will send me this stuff about, you know, the reporters were soft tonight. They did this and that. And certainly, I know what the fans are thinking. And so I can ask Coach Kelly, coach, there's been some people critical of Joe Sloan. What are your comments about that? That's the professional way to do it, or at least that's what I tried to do. To go and say, coach, the game plan sucked. Your OC's in over his head. Yeah, blah. That's not how that's going to get done. So,
right.
I try to have a pulse on the fans and what they want to know, because people like me and you, we might be one of 100 people in the post-game press conference, and there were 102,000 people in the stadium who can't be in that post-game press conference that want us to ask questions. And
I
know Michael Cobble very well. He's been here even longer than I have. I have a lot of respect, great respect for Michael. People don't realize he's the sports director. He's on the sideline with the 45-50-pound camera shooting the entire game. At LSU, too, you cannot stand up on the sidelines. You have to kneel. Yes. And in September, it's hot as Hades out there, and it's, you know, it's not glamorous work sometimes. And he does all that, and so certainly – you know, I hate Carter media trying to police other media, telling people, you know, how to do your job and this and that. Because the second I do that, that's when you're going to trip and fall on your face the next press conference. Trust me. So that's what I try to avoid. But look, that question was going to come up, whether it was the first question, the third question,
right,
the fourth question, it was going to come up.
Yeah. And that's because I don't know why it. I totally forgot about you asking that question, and I was like, I know that's happened before. And then it hit me like 1,000 bricks. And I remember you asking, I remember it so vividly now, that whole thing, because a lot of people were still pissed off after that Tennessee debacle, and rightfully so. You know, you just went to Brian Kelly's press conference. What are your major takeaways with what he has had to say, and what are your overall thoughts on LSU versus Ole Miss?
Well, my number one thought is LSU's running back room, and where is that right now? A team that has not really been able to run the ball all that effectively this year. You know, Caden Durham hasn't gotten many yards when he's healthy. Now he's got a bum ankle. He's questionable. And, you know, Caleb Jackson, for whatever reason, has certainly not been what we thought he was going to be out of high school. Yeah. You know, it was like his freshman year, he trucks the guy at Mississippi State, and everybody's like, oh, make him the starter now. He's the best. But, you know, we all get caught up in the Vince Carter moment. You know, but there's a big picture there. And I know Caleb. I know his mom. I'm rooting for him. He's supposed to be the thunder to Caden Durham's lightning. You know, Caden Durham is supposed to be your, you know, he's fast as – he's a real fast kid. And you know, Caleb Jackson is 235 pounds. He's supposed to give you that taste of Leonard Fournette or your power back that can truck somebody, and he can, but that just hasn't come together. Harlan Berry's a true freshman. And so I'm really wondering how much of a role this Juwan Johnson is going to play in the game. I remember Coach Kelly a year ago was kind of like, hey, I need a guy that then go down, the first guy hits him, you know. And Juwan, it was Southeastern, granted, but he's making people miss and, you know, showed the most playmaking ability out of the backfield. So I'm just wondering how many rushing yards LSU gets against Ole Miss to kind of, you know, Ole Miss doesn't have a great defense for sure, but to kind of keep them back a little bit. And obviously, the last time LSU went to Ole Miss, they gave up 55 points. LSU's offense scored 49 points on the road in an SEC game and still lost. Gave up 706 yards. I couldn't believe it. Right. I went back, looked at the box scores, like 706? Seriously? And lost the game. And so, you know, obviously LSU's not going to give up 706 yards. Of course, the second you say something will never happen, it will. They'll give up 800. But no, I mean, the defense is much, much better. Now the question is, can the offense score 30? Can they score 24? Well, you know, whatever the case may be to win the game. They're the underdog. I mean, Ole Miss is favored by 2.5. LSU's not supposed to win this game. So, you know, I don't want to call it a hostile atmosphere. I mean, it will be hostile, but it's not your College Station, your Bryant Denny, your Swamp. It's 63,000, something like that. So, but the fans, the ones that will show up, they don't like LSU. They hate LSU.
I do, yeah.
I mean, Matt Malk, one of the funniest things Matt Malk ever told me, he said, we're on the bus going to the game in 2003. I look out the window and a 7-year-old flipped me off. Like, a 7-year-old giving me the bird, you know? Nick Saban said, I never got so many one-finger salutes in my life as that day at Ole Miss in 2003 when they beat Eli Manning 17-14 in a great game. But, yeah, I mean, look, Mississippi State is Ole Miss's rival and all that, but nothing will make Ole Miss this season more than beating LSU.
I want to talk about your charitable efforts before we leave here. And I know you do Red, Rock, and Blue, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you do that. I know you do a bunch of like softball stuff. So,
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Made you want to do that, Jock?
Well, we started a softball tournament in my parents' backyard in Maurice, Louisiana in 1994. I was a senior in high school, and we built our own little field. Like, that was fresh off the Field of Dreams movie. If you build
literally in their backyard?
Yeah, it was. I mean, my parents, they still live in the same spot, 4 acres of land in Maurice, Louisiana. There's a lot more people moving in there now than it used to be.
Okay, yeah.
But we had some chicken wire and some 2x4s and 4x4s, and we built this little makeshift softball field, a little quirky place. I mean, I even had, like, somebody paint me some signs, like sponsors to put up, like, you know, a minor league park. I had one with Beavis and Butthead, like Beavis had the softball and Butthead had the bat. You know,
okay, softball's
cool. So I had that on the wall, and I had some. My buddy stole some Taco Bell banners, and we tried to make it look corporate. Anyway, we started this tournament all these years ago, and then we would do it every year as a reunion of friends. And then in 2007, my buddy who was in the Army said, "You're on TV. You reach a lot of people. We ought to make this a charity." And I didn't know how to raise money or any of that, but we decided to keep the money for Louisiana Military Charities. So we've given a lot to Blue Star Moms of Louisiana, Support Our War Heroes, charities that support local military men and women abroad, those who have come home, different charity organizations. So we do a softball tournament every year, slow pitch softball tournament, which is our biggest fundraiser by far. We get 70, 80, 90 teams a year, and then we do some concerts here and there throughout the year. And so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of me being Peter Pan, never growing up. It's all fun. But it raises money for great causes, and I like putting things and organizing things, and so it gives me that I get to scratch that itch, and it's been fun. I mean, this past year we gave away $55,000. We gave a $35,000 check to Blue Star Moms. We gave a $15,000 check to Gulf Coast Veterans, and we gave two other $2,500 checks. So we try to give away $50,000 to $60,000 each year.
God bless.
So it's cool, and it's not about bragging about how much we give away. But look, you know, all these people.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
I'm just the quarterback, but I mean, they're Iris Malvo, who works with me here, the Blue Star Moms. I mean, they do a lot of the work to make this all happen, and so it's cool. RedRockAndBlue.com is our website. If you ever want to get involved, sponsor any of that stuff, that's our website.
You have close to 100K on Twitter, and then you're doing great on Facebook. Check him out, Jacques Doucet, WAFB. My heart sank when you lost your Twitter account, because I suck at Twitter. I always will.
Nah, come on, that's not.
If I would ever build up a following of 90K on any social media platform.
Yeah.
And then one of these crypto losers with Cheeto crumbs on their hairy bellies lock in to Jacques Doucet's WAFB Twitter account. What was your first reaction when that happened?
Well, they got me at a moment of weakness, really being stupid, not thinking. I had gotten a direct message saying that I violated something. And if I did, and it, you know, I guess they fooled me. I mean, it looked, it came from what appeared to be X management or, you know, copyright. Yeah. And I've been burned on that before. I used to, they suspended my account. I used to I'd go to a concert and tweet some video from the concert. And they'd say, that is licensed music. You can't share that. And it happened a couple times, and they suspended my account for a little while. And then in this case, you know, not thinking, it was right before Thanksgiving of last year. I just clicked, and then I logged in, and then boom, it was gone. And I was like, I literally, you know, I didn't crap in my pants, Carter, but certainly I was like, oh God, you know, I mean, what just happened here? And so I didn't have it for 4 months. You know, trying to get in touch with Twitter X is like basically throwing a message in a bottle, throwing it in the ocean and hoping that. I mean, I filled out the thing, where you fill out all the information, why you lost it. Can you prove it? I'm like, so they changed the name to Promotes Primes X was what they changed it to.
Right.
And I'm like, look at everything tweeted from this account is me. It's like my face. It's like, it's WAFB stuff. I'm like, I'm the only person that would be able to, but. So anyway, long story short, after like 4 months, Cody Worsham, I don't know how we got to talking about it, but we did. And Cody Worsham knew some people at X. And within one day, it got rolling. And by the end of the day, I got my account back. I mean,
Cody Worsham saved it?
Cody Worsham. Yeah.
Cody Worsham. Let's go, bro. Let's go, oh, yeah. Cody.
Oh, yeah. I sent him I logged online and I sent him a big bottle of bourbon.
Yes,
USC that had LSU on it or something. And I certainly thanked him because, I mean, you know, I'm not Kim Kardashian. I'm not Taylor Swift. I can't just go right back on X and get all those people back. It would have taken years upon years. I mean, that's a lot of just me hustling and being in the right place at the right time and tweeting something that people want to see or whatever. I'm lucky I cover LSU. Everyone cares about LSU. So they follow me. So they don't follow me because of me. They follow me because of what I cover. And so I was not going to get those people back. So not that quickly anyway. So I'm just thankful that it all came to pass and I got it back. But it also kind of taught me not to get like philosophical and deep.
No,
and
go
all
on.
That.
This is.
But it's like, you know what? I mean, I spent way too much time on there. You know, it's like, do some other things with your life. You know, I try not to argue with people on those accounts. I mean, Carter, you could tweet, it's a beautiful sunny day outside today, and somebody would try to pick a fight with you. So you just have to not get in food fights with people. I try to share facts. I try to share positive stuff. You know, like even yesterday, all I was trying to do, and I guess I didn't think it through, but I'm at the basketball press conference, and typically I do a variety of shots. I do a close shot, I do a wide shot, maybe I shoot two or three pictures, and then, yeah, okay, so Matt McMahon's press conference, there weren't a lot of seats filled. It wasn't me trying to embarrass anybody. I mean, it's a basketball press conference in September. Kim Mulkey had one the day before, had a few more people, but it wasn't like it was wall to wall.
Right, so, right.
I mean, look, obviously the men's basketball team has been underwhelming the first 3 years of Coach McMahon, and it's been disappointing. And I like Coach McMahon. I'm rooting for him. They got some players. Are they going to be any better? I don't know. We'll find out. But it's hard. I mean, even when you try to compliment somebody, somebody is able to maneuver and twist your words that you're underselling somebody else, you know?
Yes.
Or, and then one thing I got tired of, like in the spring, there'd be a million things going on. I'd be like, today's a big day. We've got this, 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 and this. And then sure enough, I would always leave something out, you know, well, what about, dude, you mentioned that, you know? So if you allow yourself to go down those paths, you will drive yourself crazy for really something that means absolutely nothing, will not matter a day from now or 2 days from now, whatever. So,
yeah. And I've been around you long enough. I mean, obviously I've not been in a press scrum with you for like 5 or whatever years, but I've been around you enough. You're a positive person. You wouldn't be doing this charity stuff and you wouldn't care for Louisiana as much. Like, and I've seen people get angry with you, in particular on Facebook. Oh my God, dude! Some of your Facebook comments are.
It's
like, what are these people thinking? Like, what's going on? And I'm sure you get a lot of, hey, Jacques, what time is the game tonight?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, every now and then, look. People have lives. They have wives, husbands, kids. They got stuff going on, but. Don't tell me you're a big LSU football fan, and then the day of the season opener, ask me what time is the game and what TV and what channel is it on. That's the one. That's the one that's like, they announced this like 6 months ago. Seriously, you're asking me right now, what time is the game and what channel is it on? You know, that's the ones that, not to go on a tangent, but like, there's a guy named Eddie.
Bro.
There's a guy named Eddie Trunk who's like the Rain Man of hard rock and stuff. And he talks about that too. He's like, he got a phone call the other day. He's like, the guy goes, I'm a huge fan of the band Cinderella. Whatever happened to those guys? It's like, you can Google it and find out in 5 seconds. Cinderella.com, tour dates, or whoever you're talking about. You know what?
Yes.
I'm a big fan. Well, you're not a big fan because you can find that out like that. Anyway,
that's
the kind of funny stuff. And, you know, we don't take phone calls on our show anymore and stuff like that because it's always the same two calls. Fire the coach, bench the quarterback. Those are the two that come over and over again. And look, I never talk. One thing I try not to do is ever, and maybe some that I'm contradicting myself. I never try to talk down on fans. I never try to act like I know everything.
Don't down, yeah,
I know I'm the authority here, and you're no. I'm. I grew up a fan, going to all the games just like everyone else, and I try to you know, be as nice. And here's another thing, Carter. Somebody could really, like, tell you off, and if you push back, they may be shocked. Like, not me, but, like, you know, somebody who's prominent. If somebody, like a Kirk Herbstreit, would curse somebody out, that person who cursed him out first, it might really, like knock him down a peg and, like, kind of shock
them.
You could really, I don't want to say hurt somebody's feelings, but kind of screw somebody up.
if
you're not careful. Not somebody my magnitude, a local yokel, but a big, you know, a national person.
I actually did see, I could see how people could be angry at the basketball photo. And I know you take photos of every press conference that you go to. So I will say what needs to be said about that. Get the damn team to the tournament and more people will show up. Okay. I'm an opinion guy. You're the news guy. If Matt gets a team to the tournament, my ass will be in those seats. I've been to so many Dale Brown, John Brady basketball camps where Brad Bridgewater and all these legends would coach me up. I know they are disgusted that we can't even just get to the tournament. So yeah. Matt, get this team. I need this team, Jock. This team. I can't wait another season. Do this for Kent Lowe. Do it for all these people that actually love this basketball program. I want this team to make the tournament.
Well, I was told by somebody, I guess, kind of in the know, that last year they spent $1.8, $2 million on the roster, something like that. This year, I think it's maybe $9 million.
Good.
So they have spent money. More. I mean, Kentucky might have a $20 million roster. I don't know. but, yeah, I grew up on LSU basketball in the 80s when I went to go see, you know, Chris Jackson, now Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Shaq. Packed place, big games, big atmospheres. It was different back then. The Shaq's played 3 years at LSU. You know, your Christian Leitners and all, you know, the rivalries and all that. And honestly, these days, it's like you've got LSU football, who will always be king, no matter how many national championships baseball wins, you know, and Jay Johnson's the greatest, best coach in the country. Football will always be king at LSU.
Yeah.
And then now you've got women's basketball with Kim Mulkey. They're making deep runs in the tournament. The players are staying 4 years. Flajay Johnson, Michaela Williams, Angel Reese before them. Big stars, big interest, pack the building, lose a lot of money. Not a financially, they don't make money. But you got baseball, you got gymnastics, won a national championship. They pack the place. You know, softball has been very good. They've been kind of on that super regional plateau, haven't been able to break through. So, men's basketball, to me, it's almost like, well, we're pretty good at everything else, so I guess we got to not be great at one thing, you know, and that's been men's basketball. Now, that's the only other sport outside of football that makes money at the school, so that people say you should be investing more in it. But really, you've come up on a generation of a lot of kids who men's basketball is just not in their priority wheelhouse. I mean, Carter, time flies by. You realize next year will be the 20-year anniversary of LSU going to the Final Four in 2006 with Cyrus and Glenn Davis and Tasman and Garrett and all those guys. So it gets away from us quick, you know what I mean? So they go to the Final Four in 2006. They made the tournament in 9 and won one game. And then Will Wade was suspended. They made it to the Sweet 16. And then they Will Wade, when he coached one, it was in 21, they won one game. So you can add that up. In the last almost 20 years, how many NCAA tournament games has LSU won? 4? 3?
Yeah, I need Jacques Doucet, feet on the ground. I don't care if it's the first 4 in Dayton. I need this team in the tournament. I care so much about LSU men's basketball just being decent.
Yeah.
And I know we're spoiled, like you said, in all the other sports. We know you have a trip to make tomorrow to Oxford. I've gotten a few requests to have you on the channel. We've had John Eads on a gazillion times. His music, what he listens to, is different than what you listen to.
Well, John Eads could be my son. I mean, I'm 49 or about to be 49, and John is 20. John graduated from high school in 2019. So if he was 18 then, what is he, 25?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think our, I mean, I'm really good on music and music trivia to about the year 2000. Yeah. After that, don't ask me, about Kendrick Lamar and whatever else, songs and lyrics and all that. My favorite band, Van Halen, peaked about 40 years ago. So John likes?
He likes NBA YoungBoy.
That's right.
Yeah, and he told me if he had the aux cord and he had to ride with you to Oxford, that's all that y'all would be listening to is YoungBoy nonstop.
What are his hits?
Oh, Nevada, Right Foot Creep. That's a gritty song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got loyalty in my DNA. That's Kendrick Lamar.
Yes, that's it.
I my wheelhouse, I listen to everything, but, my wheelhouse was the 80s hard rock into the pop, Van Halen, Guns N' Roses, Aerosmith, Bon Jovi, Journey, all that stuff, Skid Row. But I'll listen to John Denver. I'll listen to Sarah McLaughlin. Did I say that right? Sarah McLaughlin.
Yeah. Sarah McLaughlin. But people don't understand.
In the Eyes of an Angel.
You're a diehard rock and roll head. Like you can get down to some Jethro Tull. I know a little rock. I remember talking to you a long time ago because I wasn't a big classic rock guy. And I remember I was a student. Carter, you gotta up your rock game.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you told. You're right. It's classic rock is the only radio genre I've never done like a radio show for, and I got into, and I still do DJ weddings. It is amazing how many classic rock songs people love. People get out on the dance floor and really get after. So that I do think,
well,
the genre. Now go on.
No, I was just going to say things have changed so much. I mean, you used to get in line at the record store and go buy your favorite CD or cassette or 8-track if you're back in the 70s. But now the musical artist is not making any money on selling the product, really. I mean, it's going...
Right.
I mean, maybe you're top tier people, but it's going straight. If I want to hear a song, Carter, I can go to YouTube, search it, and find it, or whatever.
Yeah.
All of the money is in the live performance for the most part, going to see people, paying money for tickets. But if you think about it, I mean, who is our new era of rock bands out there? I mean, like even going back to like five. I Finger Death Punch and Chevelle and who's my Sully?
21 Seconds of Summer. There's Good Charlotte, yeah. Maybe, but that's kind of like punky kind of stuff. Yeah.
I mean, who can fill an arena these days? Who is a rock band that can sell 15,000 tickets? It's the same old, same old. Def Leppard, Journey, yes, with the new singer who's been in the band like 15, 20 years now. If Eddie Van Halen was still alive, they'd still be selling that many tickets. The new breed, I don't know. I don't know if kids don't care about music as much as they used to, although they still go see, Taylor Swift and Beyonce are playing stadiums multiple nights. But
right.
But who are your rock bands these days?
And does anybody care? I couldn't name anyone. I'm not as deep into like the genre. I was a big Blink 182 fan, but once again, it's still different than like.
Well, they're classic rock now. I mean, Blink. I think they're up for the Rock and Roll Hall of
Fame. Yeah,
I'm serious. I think they're up for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They were inducted. I don't know if they got in. I don't think they did, but I think to go in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you have to wait 20 years after your initial release. And Blink 182. I mean, the average person thinks, all the small things. What was the other one? What's My Age Again? Those were
What's
those
my age
two.
Again?
but they've got a huge following. I mean, the average person might say, oh, they got two hits, but no. They did a reunion tour like what, last summer or something.
And they did some tour dates with Lil Wayne a few years ago as well. So it's interesting. Well, Jacques, I know you got to get up and go to Oxford tomorrow. I do highly recommend everyone go follow him on social media because it is interesting. We didn't talk so much about LSU and Ole Miss, but that's not what I think my audience wanted to hear from you. They want to hear behind the scenes of how difficult this job is. So if you want to see all the behind the scenes shots and everything, Jacques' social media is wonderful. And you're actually one of the few social media accounts that I have alerts. So every time you tweet, it pops up on my phone. I'm not kidding. That's why I was floored when you got hacked. I was like, there's no, dude. I was so sad because your coverage of LSU is so damn good. It is so good. I've not seen you in forever, but I wanted to tell you that.
Carter, I appreciate it. And I want to compliment you as well. And certainly you have carved out a nice following there, being an independent guy. I mean, you obviously don't have the, you know, look, I work at a station here that pays for me to make trips and all that. If I was on my own like you, you know, or being independent, I know you've hustled. I mean, before I came on, I saw that you had sponsors and stuff, and awesome. And so, and you're doing a great job and everything too. And I see the stuff you do. So you keep up the good work. You keep grinding up there in Arkansas, and I'll be watching as well. Here's the stressful thing, Carter. There's an old saying, do something right, nobody remembers. Do something wrong, nobody forgets, you know. And I think that is the thing sometimes, and I don't think this is you, but there are other people out there on message boards or whatever that'll say, I told you that guy was going to be hired a week ago, or I told you this guy was getting fired or whatever. I can't be wrong. You know, I can't like get five of them right and five of them wrong and point to the five that I got right and say, I told you this, because I'll get crucified for getting, you know, one of them. So that's the difference sometimes between, you know, this side of it and then some others out there, is that I can't do that, you know, and then I can't be wrong three times and say I was right seven. It just, you know,
yeah, because then your bosses will call. Like, it's difficult. And that's part of the reason why, like, when I have guests that do like a different style of media than me, I want people to understand what it's like to actually be in their shoes, because I got a local television degree from LSU. That's what they train you for. They just call it broadcast journalism.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it. I guess if someone offered me enough money to do local TV, I would do it. It is so damn hard. It is so hard what you guys do. I wish, because writing is hard. I don't want to belittle that. And radio, that's obviously more my background. It's hard as well. But local TV, it's just, you're in so many different environments where you shoot this long ass game, and then, oh yeah, put it into a 2-minute package. Yeah. You got to be at the station, got to have a suit and tie on, and all that stuff. I was like, that is just insanely difficult to do. And it can limit you. It could also, depending on what you do with that 2 minutes, it could be a masterpiece as well. And a lot of times your stuff is masterpiece stuff. Keep up the good work with the local high school coverage and all that good stuff. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll talk to you soon, Jacques.
All right, Carter. Yeah, my phone's about to die, so good point of us to get out of here. Great talking to you, and I'll be happy to join you again whenever. So,
all right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Okay, Carter. Thanks, man.
Jacques Doucet, give him a follow on the social media platforms. We'll take a few more here. Obviously, he was a first-time guest. Every time we have first-time guests, we want you to get to know them, because if they come back on, you'll be like, yeah, I know that guy. But a lot of you know that guy. It's probably the biggest local media guest that we've had on here. And I'll share what happened yesterday. So I asked Jacques to come on last Thursday. And I was like, okay, no big deal. We'll just do next week. And then I said, hey, can you do this Wednesday? He didn't see the Wednesday, so he thought it was Thursday. So it honestly was an honest mistake. I've done it a gazillion times. I should have done better and saying, hey, let's do Wednesday. But I'm glad we did Thursday. It actually worked out better for everyone involved. And, man, he's good. Like, I really do mean it. I have alerts on my phone. Every time Jacques tweets, it gets sent to my phone. And I know it's not going to be something that intentionally is misleading. That's why it was interesting. He tweets out the photo of the basketball press conference. I know Jacques well enough that I knew he wasn't taking a shot because he's consistent. Every press conference he goes to, more often than not, he tweets out a photo. Okay. But as someone who is more in the opinion side of things, I'm glad he tweeted that out. Because if we make the tournament every year in basketball, there's going to be more people at that conference. Okay? Yeah, the Rolling Stones still sell out. Obviously, they're the creme de la creme with the Metallica, AC/DC. Yeah, Terry, I'm a big Jacques Doucet fan, as I've said plenty of times on here. Let's go to Nathan. Do I think the narrative will be LSU beat a team with their backup quarterback? No. Chambliss is very clearly better. His two games have been better than the other two games from Austin Simmons. I didn't see this Pegasus. I would have put it up there. He would probably, he did share a few times the 03 games, the Eli Manning games. It's also true from how I'm actually wrong on this. No one's going to be in there in September. Now, if it's Kentucky, it's going to be packed. So some of it is just, hey, you know, it's September. But they do a media days and opening thing and all of that. And look, Hal, you're a season basketball ticket owner. Mike is as well. Y'all are both patrons. So your opinion matters more to this than mine because y'all put a lot of money and time and effort in going to the games and all that stuff. But I am to the point, though, we've got to make the tournament. We just do. And it's not even a, hey, make the tournament and you deserve to be fired. I obviously feel that way, but it's just one of those things where I just want the team to make the tournament. Like, I just want it for the fans. I want it for you guys. I bet you it's painful for Shaq to be, you know, the biggest celebrity to ever come from LSU, and your sport is fifth, at best, fiddle, even though it's second fiddle in terms of revenue, but it's fifth fiddle in the grand scheme of things. People care more about baseball. People care more about women's basketball. People care more about football. So it's probably fourth. But, you know, LSU gymnastics is really popular. They sell out. So I could say it's fifth. But goodness gracious, dude, just make the tournament. That's all I want to do. I would do anything. I care more about making the basketball tournament, and I really do mean this, because college football playoff is way harder to make. I care more about just making the basketball tournament than LSU football making the college football playoff, because it's so much harder to make the college football playoff. 14 SEC teams made the men's basketball tournament last year. 14. There are 16 teams in the conference. 16. 7 out of every 8 teams made the tournament. SEC coaches, we lost a really good one in Bruce Pearl. So Auburn's probably not going to be as good this year. We put more money towards this roster. Jacques' main thing is in basketball. It's obviously football, but Matthew Broome, who's joined us plenty of times, his main thing is basketball. He coaches AAU basketball. He looked at me square in the face when he knows the guys on the roster. He actually knows the players and watch their tape and all that stuff. He says, we're making the tournament. He says, Carter, we are going to be in Dayton in the first four in. Hopefully we're not. Hopefully we're a one seed. But God, dude, I for the Stromile Swifts of the world. Yeah, Sarah, I know Jalen Reed. That's probably the only name that comes to my mind right now. He's coming back from injury. But as we get closer, I'll study up on the roster. But I don't know. I don't know. I just want to make the tournament. That's it. All right. Big thanks to all our partners, once again, Fortify Gulf Coast and our friends at Labor Therapy and LaborTherapy.com. Zion Imaging, XYAN Imaging for all your wedding photo booth, spin booth needs, XYANImaging.com or Zion360.com. Speaking of Zion, Zion Williamson losing a bunch of weight. How about that? That's it, Mike. Coach him up. Apparently, though, the players that we did bring in are better. But I really do mean, I don't think Jacques ever intends to be negative. And I also didn't bring up that Tennessee press conference snafu, but I wanted to bring it up because, you know, Michael Cobble got dressed down by Brian Kelly. It happens. It happens. And when that happened, I remember being live and I was like, I know of another. Who was the big reporter? I was like, it was Jacques. Jacques was the one who got dressed down. And I should have asked him about this. So if I remember correctly, after the press conference, Les actually asked to speak to Jacques. So he was like, hey, Jacques, come here. And they actually went into a different room, and I don't know what it was. But, yeah, I mean, everybody was frustrated after that Tennessee game. All right. So now that it's public, Brian Kelly just said this publicly. Gabriel Relford is out for the season. Is this a huge loss? Well, I'll tell you in a minute, but first off, I send prayers to Gabriel. I don't know a gazillion players on this team, and I don't know Gabriel that well, even though he's been on the channel. His dad is an awesome guy. Awesome guy. It's tough. Now, I am happy for him that it happened this week compared to next week, because now he'll get a red shirt. And this could be good for us in the long term, that we could have Gabe for three more seasons. But he is done for the year, per Brian Kelly on the radio show. This just now breaking. It sucks. Obviously, we're big fans of Gabe on here. And yeah, he's had a good season up to this point. He's been a big part of our blitzing. And this was actually something that I cut out. You know, you do so much prep. I want to share this chart with you. So this is a stat from, crap, what's the Twitter analytic account name? Quinn's Wisdom. There it is. It's at the bottom right. So front seven havoc compared to defensive back havoc. You'll see that our havoc has been more created by our defensive backs than our defensive front. And havoc is essentially tackle for loss, forced fumble, interception, or a pass deflected, or a broke up pass. Some of this is Gabriel Relford, even though it's not him necessarily getting the havoc. It's him opening up other defensive backs on blitzes and so on and so on. So, you know, the next defensive end that steps up in his absence, and it might not be another one. It might just be a three-man rotation with the only three players playing are the transfers. You need to go out there and eat up blockers so our DBs can go in there and make plays. Generate some pass rush where we get another interception. So this goes to show you that our defensive backs have not only shut down their opponents, when they actually get the opportunity to go make a play, they actually go out there and make a play. Okay? Yes, Gabe is out for the season. Sad note, but my prayers are with Gabe and his family. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight we are doing lasagna. Our top super chatters of the evening, Brian, and welcome Kenny to the membership program. You get bonus film studies and so much more. We'll talk to you soon. Let's go.